back to the temple. All the people gathered round him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught committing adultery, and they made her stand before them all.
Teacher! This woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In our law, Moses commanded that such a woman must be stoned to death. Now, what do you say?
They said this to trap Jesus so that they could accuse him. But he bent over and wrote on the ground with his finger. As they stood there asking him questions, he straightened up.
Whichever one of you has committed no sin may throw the first stone at her.
Then he bent over again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they all left, one by one, the older ones first. Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there. He straightened up.
Where are they? Is there no one left to condemn you?
No one, sir.
Well then, I do not condemn you either.
Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness.
Now you are testifying on your own behalf. What you say proves nothing!
No. Even though I do testify on my own behalf, what I say is true. Because I know where I came from and where I am going. You do not know where I came from or where I am going. You make judgments in a purely human way. I pass judgment on no one. But if I were to do so, my judgment would be true. Because I am not alone in this. The Father who sent me is with me. It is written in your law that when two witnesses agree, what they say is true. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me also testifies on my behalf.
Where is your Father?
You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also.
Jesus said all this as he taught in the temple, in the room where the offering boxes were placed. And no one arrested him, because his hour had not come.
I will go away. You will look for me. But you will die in your sins. You cannot go where I am going.
He says that we cannot go
where he is going.
Does this mean that he will kill himself?
You belong to this world here below, but I come from above. You are from this world, but I am not from this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. And you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am who I am.
Who are you?
What I have told you from the very beginning. I have much to say about you, much to condemn you for. The one who sent me, however, is truthful. And I tell the world only what I have heard from him.
They did not understand that Jesus was talking to them about the Father.
When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am who I am. Then you will know that I do nothing on my own authority, that I say only what the Father has instructed me to say. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him.
Many who heard Jesus say these things believed in him.
If you obey my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
That's it,
John. We are the descendants of Abraham, and we have never been anybody's slaves.
All right, we can see in the video how the hostility against Jesus is heating up. Still, the light of Jesus grows brighter and all the more unrelenting. So our title for the message today is Jesus is the Light of the World. And it's based on John chapter 8, the second part, 12 through 30. Our key verse is verse 12. Can we say all that verse all together? Ready? When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Our natural tendency when we read the Bible and even when we see a video like that is to imagine we are with Jesus. Right? We want to just be with Jesus and kind of cheer him on. Jesus, however, is not looking to recruit cheerleaders. Jesus invites us to be wholeheartedly engaged with him in this short game of life that we all have to live. Thus, it's likely more helpful for us when we really meditate a passage like this to think about how we might be a little more like the residents of Jerusalem. We want to defend our own way of doing things. We want to tell Jesus what he needs to be doing. In our hearts, we question and we doubt and we remain fixed in our thinking and ways. Jesus, however, does not condemn us. Just like we heard in Tammy's testimony and in the woman caught in adultery. But he models another way of living. Today, let's consider what it means to follow Jesus, the light of the world, and never walk in darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our minds and hearts to Jesus, the light of the world, through your word and spirit today. Cover all my sins and weaknesses. Help people to see Jesus in his light alone. In his name I pray. First, know the Father and his image in the light of Jesus. In this first section, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He also shines the light into the deeper issues behind the Pharisees' hostility. So as we listen to this part, please be looking at these qualities of Father God and Jesus and be ready. At some point, you're going to get three tokens and you're going to need to get up and put your three tokens by one of these, three of these that best describe how you are made in the image of God. All right, so be thinking about that. We're going to have some interactive playtime at the end of this first part. So let's remember the scene. When we read the Gospels, we should remember what's really happening in John's context as he's writing to his original audience, right? And we also remember this Jewish festival and Feast of the Tabernacles. So this picture here pictures the festival of lights, the lighting of the temple in the temple courts there in the middle and the lights that filled the night sky in Jerusalem during this feast. The long summer days were ending and the darkening winter season was coming. They held this light ceremony where 16 bowls were filled with oil and lit at night, illuminating all Jerusalem, while the Levites sang and people danced in the streets. All right, so we got to work on that part, but next week. All right. John indicates that Jesus was teaching in the very court where that lighting ceremony took place. He gives us that nugget of detail in verse 20. The ceremony was meant to awaken their community memories of the Exodus from Egypt and God leading them through the dark desert nights with a pillar of fire. Much like when we hear Tammy's testimony, it beckons our own story to come alive in our own hearts. As life moves on, we are often ending up not so different from the Israelites when they were in the desert wandering around, sometimes encamped in the wilderness. We need the light of God on our exodus of this world to the kingdom of God. Raise your hand if you need the light of God in your life. The road is long with mountains and valleys and streams and beautiful vistas and heartbreaking things that we all go through. That's a normal part of life. Sometimes we're excitedly forging ahead, and other times we become weary travelers and we need to just camp out for a while. The amazing truth is that Jesus is with us through it all, sometimes to slow us down from our running ahead of him, sometimes to encourage us to pack up camp and get moving again. Look at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus' light is a forgiving light. It's a revealing light. It's a light that does not condemn, but leads us out of darkness into his wonderful light. If anybody knows Torrin Wells, he sings a song called Fully Known, and it says, "It's hard truth and ridiculous grace. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known, and loved by you, by our Father in heaven." Jesus' light awakens us from our overly encamped lives and illuminates the way ahead for us. The religious leaders of Jesus' time, were they ready to move? Were they packing up camp and moving together with Jesus? They were not ready to budge, even a little. They could not leave behind their abundant religious traditions and investments. They called Jesus out again on his lack of witnesses, very similar to the arguments they made back in John chapter 5. Instead of giving his fivefold witnesses this time, Jesus simply points to his Father as the witness of his testimony. Look at verse 19. Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." A deepening knowledge and experience of Father God and his love is what enables us to recognize Jesus the Son in the movement of his Spirit among us. The whole human race was fathered by God. As we sang with the kids, we are made in the image of God. That's where the light comes from. Amen? How well do you know the Father? Are you certain of his love and concern for you? Are you truly aware of how fearfully and wonderfully made you are? Around our worship hall, you'll see 24 candles with some of the ways we're made in the image of God. And all of these can be found in different ways in our passage today. So I'm going to ask Josiah and Mamiya to walk around, and everybody's going to get 3 tokens from them. As soon as you get your 3 tokens, I want you to get up from your overly encamped station in the worship hall and place those 3 tokens next to the 3 qualities that best describe how God has made you in his image. All right, so I'm going to invite all the kids and the adults to do that together. Okay, as Josiah comes around, as soon as you get your 3, please get up. Kids, you can help them pass out. You can also get up from your seat and come get 3 from Joe. And Mamiya has them too. Mommy and Joe, get. Thank you so much to Mommy and Josiah. So the light of Jesus makes us deeply aware of both who God is and who we are. It makes us self-aware and confident of who he made us to be and how we are uniquely designed to be a blessing and a light to the world around us. Amen. Thank you for all for participating. I guess we call this active learning message. Second, trust in the final destinies that the light of Jesus reveals. So we see pictures of the 2 final destinies that the light of Jesus reveals, verses 21 through 24. Again, it's important to remember the context of even John's first audience that he wrote to when he first wrote this letter and this book to his friend Theophilus. The early church was locked in life or death struggle with the synagogues that denied Jesus's messiahship and sonship. That was the battle and the struggle John's audience was facing against. Synagogues and religious people that were on their way to hell because of their utter rejection of Jesus. And then the people of light that were trying to intervene and save the world through Jesus in the work of the Spirit among the early church believers. People were so entrenched in the traditions of their religious world and refused to see things any other way. And in reality, our world today is no different. We all get entrenched in our own ways. What is more, the alluring darkness of this world traps and ensnares people. Only Jesus, the light of the world, can free us and give us what Jesus calls the light of life. Wow, I'll have some more of that. This part of the passage is the hard truth, not so much the ridiculous grace. It's straightforward truth-telling. Jesus' words indicate the heart-breaking destiny of all those who seem irrevocably hostile to him. Look at verses 21 through 24. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." Jesus speaks truth in order to save, not to condemn his listeners. As we heard from Tammy, neither did Jesus condemn the woman caught in adultery or Tammy in the things that she shared. Jesus did not condemn her. Instead, he provides an opportunity to leave that life of sin and start anew. This is the opportunity we have in Jesus again and again and again and again and again. Our destiny is to be with him where he is. In fact, he is preparing rooms for us in the Father's house. He's preparing a room for Christian, a room for Timo. Matt, do you have a room there? Yes. Amen. Do you ever try to imagine what your room will be like? You should. What is your room going to be like in heaven? I picture mine more like a whole planet, like one of the things Russell probably saw in his telescope. My room is going to be one of these distant constellations with beauty and majesty and wonder. That's where I'll be. To be clear, the Bible only presents two ultimate destinies for mankind. One is with Jesus in the Father's house. The other is dying in our sins and going to hell, where there is pain, sorrow, and separation from God for eternity. Those are the only two destinies. Amazingly, God invites his people, us, the church, to play an important part in the ultimate destinies of all those we meet and encounter in life. This includes our family members, our neighbors, people at work, students on campus. Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus sees us in a similar way. Once he told a small community of growing disciples, just like I'm about to say to you, hear these words from Jesus to us. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. As we believe in such final destinies, God uses us as a light for the world. Amen? Third, follow the light of Jesus in a life pleasing to God. 25 through 30. In this last section, we see Jesus emphasizing his close, intimate relationship with the Father. He does this quite a bit in John's gospel. Even as people question and misunderstood him, the light of Jesus points to the Father and models a life utterly pleasing to him. Look at verses 27 through 30. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Despite increasing hostility from the religious leadership in Jerusalem, Jesus explains that his being lifted up on the cross, lifted up in his resurrection, and ultimately lifted up into heaven in the ascension, would further reveal his connection with the Father. No matter what, Jesus always does what pleases the Father. The authority of Jesus' words causes people to move one way or another. When Jesus speaks and the Word of God comes to us, it moves us one way or another. In this case, the Bible says many believed and began to trust a little bit more in Jesus. We'll see the story of how those beginning to believe a little more people play out in the next couple chapters. By following Jesus, we can also do what pleases God in our life. Many times, we are not sure what to do, so we need to ask. Other times, we don't ask and assume we already know. Yet other times, we don't even think about God or what pleases him, and just say or do something. Jesus shows us a better example. The words he spoke and the actions he took flow directly out of his relationship with the Father. Even when people were mean and hostile to Jesus, he said and did what pleased God. When we do our best to follow Jesus, the light of the world, we will never walk in darkness. And what is more, we can please God in all that we think or do or say. Amen? Amen. In conclusion, as we are worshiping today, what is Jesus, the light of the world, saying and doing in your heart? How is the Father's love for you coming alive? How are the final destinies of us all motivating you? Are we ready to trust and follow Jesus, the light of the world, to please God? Are we ready? Who's ready? Christian's ready. Timo's ready. Hallelujah. What are you supposed to say?
Praise the Lord.
Ah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, it goes the other way too. Thanks, Nah. Jesus' proclamation, "I am the light of the world," may spur us on. His amazing promise, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These words may fill us with hope and enthusiasm for our life ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you for your promise that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.